Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Three
is a bum approaching a toilet seat.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers episode, Bum Approaching a Toilet Seat, 83. Tom, how you doing?
Top notch.
Wow. Is that because we have got a very special long-time guest who hasn't been here for a long time?
We'll go with yes.
Okay, great.
Good answer.
It's Tidy.
Hello.
Hi, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been ages.
Around Christmas?
Christmas well, special.
What have you been doing?
Living life.
Keeping it real.
Nothing interesting.
Watching stuff, we hope.
Yeah, okay. And listening to you guys, of course.
Good.
Brilliant stuff. Well, I've got a few news stories we'll get through. I thought instead of a quiz, we'd do a Would You Rather, because they're always a bit of fun.
Ooh, saucy.
Yeah. Always saucy. Mm. And we'll go through some stuff that we've been watching. Tom, do you want to kick off the news department?
There's lots of news. Hang on, let me just...
Whoa.
Sorry.
That was heavy.
I blew something out. Let's try that again.
Okay.
Let me just...
Oh.
That's the news bag.
That was a big Santa sack of news.
I'm rustling around. I'm going to get a good story from the bottom. Okay, so there's a show on ABC called Bluey. I don't know if you've seen this, but a kids' TV show.
Yeah.
It's pretty popular.
It's very, very popular. And Disney have just bought the global rights for the first two seasons to go out on the Disney Channel, which... For some context, is how the Wiggles became the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, right.
Hello. This is a huge scoop for, well, everybody to do with Bluey, but also ABC must be pretty happy.
I think so.
Mm. But ABC have got a good pedigree for kids' TV.
Yeah, for a very long time.
Quality stuff. Now, funnily enough, I'm pretty sure the dad in Bluey is played by a guy that used to be in a 90s band.
Yes.
He used to be on...
the singer from Custard.
That was it. they were
Girls
always on...
Like
that's
that.
The yeah. song. That's it.
He's the best dad in the world on this show.
Oh, great.
Like, he's just super into his kids and present. And
yeah, awesome.
It's the anti... Homer Simpson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which is why Disney
and ABC have done it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I think it's ABC's most streamed show.
Wow.
Out of everything. Not just kids' shows and stuff. Yeah. Just, you know.
Take that, Killing Eve. And whatever else they have on iView. That's big news.
Yeah.
That's great news. What else?
So Robert Kirkman, the man behind Walking Dead
and
also Outcast.
Yep.
Another show. He's got another show in production. Based on another one of his comic book series. So a little over a year now, there's a series called Oblivion Song that's been going. And it was this secret project for a while and wasn't announced that anything was coming, but he got this really top artist to work for an entire year banking issues. So this thing comes out every month on the day it's supposed to. They never miss a deadline. And a beautiful, gorgeous art. It looks painted and everything like this.
Nice.
The story at a macro level is very simple, but it's very, very complicated and stuff. But there's some weird portal opened in a small town in America and expanded maybe a mile.
Yep.
And sucked that land through to a different dimension, and that dimension splashed in here.
Oh.
And it's pretty bad. And the stuff that comes out of it is not good at all. And we're following a scientist who has... found a way to skip between the two, and so he journeys to what was Earth on the other side.
Incredible.
And tries to bring people back. So it's kind of like the idea of the Upside Down.
Yeah.
But what if someone was able to go in there and try and rescue people and bring them back and had a mission?
Yeah. A touch of Sliders, I should say.
Yes.
To it as so well. That's, do you remember Sliders?
Yeah.
That's the setup for maybe the first two issues, and then the swerves start and they do not stop.
Nice.
And it's one of the, like, what it is now does not line up with what it started at all. And I'm very excited to see how the TV show could handle that. So that's set up at Universal.
Mm.
I'll keep you posted with that one.
So Universal, that's The Walking Dead is AMC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a bit different?
Yeah.
Or,
So I believe this is through Skybound, which is his comic book imprint label. And he has certain rights tied up with certain networks, but I don't think Skybound is fully associated with AMC.
I get you. I get you. Did you see that there's drama in the celebrity organizer world?
What?
So you know that lovely, charming Japanese lady, Marie Kondo.
She brings me no joy.
You'll be out.
She's also brought no joy to a lady called Linda Coppersmith. Love that name, by the way, with a K. She's
with
also
a K.
Oh, stop.
That's she's a ballsy move.
That's what I was thinking. Like, is that a stage sort of thing? Or?
Man, if you're doing that, throw an umlaut on the O's. Coppersmith.
Yeah, yeah, that would be way better.
Make it a twister.
Now I'm annoyed. She's also known as the Beverly Hills organizer, and these two are fighting.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Linda's accusing Marie of stealing her upright folding method and passing it off as her own.
Of course.
Linda said she invented this idea way back in 1989. This is what she said. What Marie calls her Marie method is actually... Can you feel the anger?
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually a folding technique I created by myself 27 years ago. It was published in my book in 2005. It was shown on my TV show, Clean House, for years and seen on YouTube videos. Despite this, it's claimed that Marie is the creator of the upright fold. I don't care. I could not care less.
Look, I'm going to put it out there. I've been doing the upright fold for years.
Is that because you can't be bothered to sit down and fold?
Well, also because in drawers, you can see all your stuff. So it works for your T-shirts and things rather than like pulling the piles apart. There's no way I'm going to have a fuss about Marie Kondo doing it. And Miss Linda here, build a bridge.
Miss Linda.
I think the greatest mic drop that could happen this year, that Downton Abbey movie that's coming later in the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have the staff...
Do it.
Doing an upright fold, suggesting that it's been around for 100 years. Bam.
And just throw in there, you know, something doesn't bring them joy.
Yeah.
Just as a throwaway line.
Yeah, yeah, get both of them.
When one folds, one must fold with joy.
So frustrating. How many loads of washing do you go before you actually fold?
I think that face tells you everything.
Yeah.
I don't know where the iron is in my house. So folding.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of a coat hanger.
Oh, yeah.
Bung it up. There you
then
go.
Then you don't have to worry at all.
That's better than the dig from the washing basket.
That's my thing.
Where you wash it. It comes in.
Yeah, yeah. And then you could,
See, my secret is hoodies.
Because they don't need folding.
They don't really need folding. And you bung it on over the top of anything and then the stuff underneath doesn't look crinkled because you're wearing a hoodie.
It's
you
covered.
Haven't put in any effort.
No one knows. Yeah. Tactics.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
All right, let's get away from this folding action. Back to the gnolls.
Okay, sure. So the Hagrid roller coaster opened at Universal Florida this week.
Can you imagine the lines?
That's the news. Would you like to guess what the lines were at opening time? I took a screenshot from the app.
As in time length of
waiting? Yeah, like as if you joined the line now, how long would you be waiting?
I want to say 6 hours.
600 minutes.
Stop.
That's 10 hours.
Oh.
That's a long wait.
I thought you were overdoing it.
Really?
I thought I'm going to say 3 because that sounds more realistic. That's ridiculous.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm not even bothering with that.
But there's no toilet break in that.
No.
So what do people do with it? Are there you can pay extra and get a fast ticket, or is that not a thing when things are open?
Yeah, when things have just opened, that it's not like that.
Jeez. But I would assume even if it was, those fast ticket lines would be just as long.
Yeah, they'd be plenty long.
Because people would buy it to go on that, and so then you're all standing in line. So what's the point?
Yeah, but you've all paid $20 extra.
Yeah.
Or probably more.
It's a bit different from the other two big Harry Potter rides that they've done there, because both of those are designed to have multiple people getting on at one time.
Yeah.
So the Journey into Hogwarts one is literally a travelator that you walk up and sit down and it keeps people moving through. The other one, the Gringotts, that has two... like 24-seat roller coaster cars going at the same time and pulling in constantly, whereas this is a roller coaster, and so it looks like they load slightly slower.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. Also, this looks to be one of the most impressive coasters ever built, because it's a roller coaster also mixed with a dark ride. So mm-hmm. there's animatronics and all sorts of stuff going on throughout, and you get attacked. And yeah.
So is it the kind of thing like Star Wars where you're probably best waiting a bit?
I think so.
Yeah. And then you get to go to both.
Wait for February.
Yeah, you only wait 5 hours for each. I saw that there's a bit of casting news for mm-hmm. a show called Criminal.
Criminal.
It's coming to Netflix.
Up your alley.
It sounds up your alley.
Really?
Oh, no. Maybe it's up our mum's alley, actually.
It depends if it's jail-related or murder mystery-related.
Okay,
please tell me this is a criminal investigation show for petty crimes.
Maybe. David Tennant has signed
up. Okay, we're good then.
To be a guest star in this series. There's going to be 12 standalone episodes, and they're going to be set in 4 different countries. So it's France, Spain, Germany, and the UK. The British episodes have the Killing Eve showrunners in charge, which mm-hmm. sounds pretty mm-hmm. cool. And each episode will be set inside a police, like, interview room kind of thing. And the press release says it's stripped down, cat and mouse drama focusing on the intense mental conflict between the detectives and the suspects. Now, I'm not sure if David Tennant's going to be a bad guy or a cop, but I reckon if I'm going to have a guess, I'm going to say cop.
Yeah, he's detective all the way.
You reckon bad guy?
100%.
You reckon?
Yeah, neither of you watched Jessica Jones.
No.
He's the creepiest, worst person alive in that. And he was also the bad guy in Harry Potter 4.
Yeah, but he also was the detective in Broadchurch.
So he's done it all.
He's done it.
Well, what's he up to?
He could do both.
He could do both.
Put a wig on the man.
He'd be a twin. Good cop, bad cop twins.
He's also Scrooge McDuck.
Is he?
In the DuckTales, which we'll get to in a bit.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I fell down a DuckTales hole.
I like it.
Fun.
Talking of new Netflix stuff, this one is out of nowhere, but it sounds pretty – well, it's definitely up your alley.
Mm.
There's a show coming later in the year called Prank Encounters. It is it's an 8-episode series, executive produced and hosted by Gatton Matazzaro.
A.K.A. Dustin, Stranger Things.
Mm.
So each episode of this terrifying and hilarious prank show takes two complete strangers who think they're starting their first day at a new job. It's business as usual until their paths collide and these part-time jobs – turn into full-time nightmares.
So do they know each other?
I don't know if they know each other. I don't know if that's the setup.
Yeah,
I think it's more that they get two people and put them in an ever-escalating series of weirdness. So normally your prank show is do the prank. Ha ha, wasn't that funny?
Yeah, classic. Whereas
it won't stop.
This looks like it may be like a mix of Fear Factor or something in there where it starts as pranks and then escalates further. Now, if you've not seen a show called Nathan For You,
I've talked about this a lot. That kind of thing.
I don't know if it's quite that level of whether they're going to have a narrative story over the top.
Yep.
But if they do half the convoluted stuff that show did, I'll be all in.
You know, I read a bit of an article about this show, but it was taking the angle of some people on the internet are not happy about it.
Why is that?
Because they're giving people jobs and then going, ha ha, not a real job.
I imagine that the answer to that is temp work.
Yeah, it's all temp.
They're temp jobs.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
So
it's
they're
a
still getting paid for their time.
Yeah.
One shift or
just
whatever.
Because, and like they show up to do that work and they get paid for that time. And then the production company is also going to say, here's a waiver to sign and
$1,000. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be happy. The internet.
The internet. To whinge.
Yeah.
They do. You know what? I saw one story that not many people were whinging about. MTV are doing a Daria spin-off.
Oh, nice.
Jodie.
From what? Okay.
That's exactly the reaction I had. Okay. Hmm. Yeah.
What would you say? 96-ish?
Yeah, I think so, because that was already a spin-off from Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, which would have,
Beavis and Butthead, I think, hit peak 93 somewhere. Oh, the movie was 93.
It was early around on, like the Reality Bites kind of time, because it was a similar voice as Janine.
Garofalo.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. I would watch and then forget it exists.
I think I'm not clamoring for it myself, but, you know, I know a lot of people who loved Daria.
Oh, she's an icon. Mm. Cult classic, absolutely.
Please don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There is a show that I am pretty amped about.
Yes.
It's called Elba versus Brock. Sorry.
Hang on, who's Elba?
Elba versus Block.
Oh, Block.
Yeah. Elba, Idris Elba.
Oh, okay.
Block, Ken Block, one of the best stunt best drivers in the world. Idris Elba is a massive car fan.
Yeah.
And there's an 8-part series coming for something called Quibi. I don't know whether that, some streaming service called Quibi or something like that.
And just another one.
But Ken Block is he's the master of this thing called Gymkhana, which is if you've ever watched cool action driving online, there's a very good chance he's involved.
Right.
The dude is insane.
Oh, and these Top Gear guys are going to be jealous of
this.
Well,
that's it. This is like Top
Gear.
This is
new, fresh.
Idris Elba and the most watched race driver in the world.
It seems like Idris Elba is just doing everything he really enjoys now. Like, did that whatever whole show Turn It Up Charlie because he really likes DJ?
Yeah.
It's an Idrenaissance.
Brilliant. Love Thanks. It. That's really good.
I think this is coming later in the year. There's going to be crazy stunts. They mentioned something about the London Bridge.
Oh.
So each episode is doing stunts or racing each other in various places around Europe.
There is an audience already clamoring for this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They don't even know they want it, but they'll watch it.
Definitely.
Like, Top Gear is a total guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah.
And it's the Matt LeBlanc stuff was better than when it was Chris Evans, the guy before. Yeah. And now they've got Freddie Flintoff, and I don't even know if I'm interested in that. But the idea of Idris Elba hanging out with Ken Block, I am so about this. You've never watched any Gymkhana, go and see it now. There is one, I think it might be Gymkhana 4, or maybe 5, but it's filmed inside Universal Studios.
Yep.
And he got to shut down the back lot for a couple of days. And it is stunt driving with all the stuff that you see on the studio tour happening, but he's doing skids and driving at 200 k an hour.
Holy dooly.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh!
That was almost a Tim Allen Home Improvement sound then. Which is the perfect reaction for this kind of show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
All right, what else have you got?
Did you hear the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt news?
No. I did not.
Well, you know it's wrapped up.
Yep.
Nope. They're getting an interactive Netflix special next year.
Wow.
The storyline will go many different ways. Daniel Radcliffe is involved.
Of course he is.
Because he, like Elba, is doing exactly
whatever
he wants.
Whatever the hell he wants to do.
The show couldn't get more random even if it tried. But to then make it interactive with your choices just sounds so random, so fun.
All the things. I hope that there's the drunk Tina Fey character, you know, as the shrink. I hope that she's there and that you get to control what she does.
Well,
that'll be funny.
In the announcement on Deadline, all the main cast were involved.
Yes.
Everyone was clamoring to get back to it.
Yeah.
That show, if anything, it looked like they were all just having a great time.
Yeah, fantastic time.
Yeah.
And it's gotten a lot of goes. Do you know what I mean? Like it was at NBC and they wrapped it up and then it went Netflix and they wrapped it up, but then they've gone, no, look.
We'll be back. It's almost got a French and Saunders, absolutely fabulous feel to it.
Mm.
This is the last one. Oh, but we'll do a Christmas special.
Yeah.
But we'll do a movie. We'll probably come back. Oh, we're going to do a documentary now.
Yeah.
Well, the nature of that story, it kind of suits to check in on her every few years.
Yeah.
To see how she's progressed and grown.
Progressed and grown.
You know what I mean?
Just what she's doing.
If she's achieved anything.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So we've talked before about how there's a mega deal happening for J.J. Abrams and that the different studios are vying for it. Well, it's looking like Warner Media has moved forward.
Mm.
So Warner are doing their own streaming service. We've talked about this and how they're questioning whether to continue the DC Universe one and this sort of stuff.
Mm.
Having J.J. Abrams producing content for them would be a huge boon and set them up for a lot of success.
The man's got a name.
Yes. Well, it's
just the one.
Just the one.
It's floating that it might be about $500 million.
Whoa.
Which is pretty good to lock it down. He's got a lot of history with Warner thanks to Bad Robot because they produced a lot of shows, TV shows, you know, Alias. Was a
big one.
Very big one.
Bad Robot's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm, that's great news.
So that's pretty cool. Apple is apparently just behind in contention. Those are the two that have pulled forward. The rest have kind of fallen away a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't afford it.
Well, It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Most of them can afford it. Yeah, it's just whether...
I just wanted to shame them.
Yeah.
Sure.
You've got money.
Look, for my take, I think signing an exclusive with him is a very cool idea because he's an ideas powerhouse. It makes cool stuff. But on the flip side, he had a deal with Paramount for this exact thing and, like, requested permission to go and make Star Wars for Disney, and they let him.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's... Anyway, it's a lot of
see what else he wanders off to do then.
Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
And then next, do you want some good news or some great news? Which should we start with first?
Mediocre is great, isn't it?
Well, actually, both of them yeah. are to do with good things. One of them's pretty cool and one of them's very cool.
Let's go pretty cool. Let's crescendo. Yeah.
Okay, so the pretty cool one is that they've confirmed that Good Place is coming back September 26th.
I was about to say to you, does it have something to do with a good place?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It will be coupled up with Superstore, which it has been for a while now, but also the two new shows that we've talked about, Sunnyside, which is Cal Penn giving back to the community, and Perfect Harmony, which is Bradley Whitford joining a small town choir.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
That sort of stuff. So it sounds like a pretty strong comedy lineup. Mm. It's been a while since NBC have had one where all the shows have gone for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this one might be the one.
Fingers crossed.
And now the pretty really, cool really good.
Lucky we're sitting down.
So Nickelodeon are bringing back All That, which is
cool.
Great sketch show from the 90s, and that's where Kenan and Kel started.
Yeah.
Now Kenan's really busy. Because he's on Saturday Night Live, and he's also got his own show coming this year called Kenan, and he's doing both at the same time. So he's worked out some deal where he, like, flies to New York on Friday afternoon, works till 4 a.m. doing Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my goodness.
Flies back to L.A., films for the week. Crazy. Kel, not as busy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely available for the All That revival. To celebrate this All That revival that's coming in a couple of weeks, they're doing a pop-up store. There's a pop-up restaurant of Good Burger.
Yeah.
And it's going to be around for like a year.
Oh, wow.
This is the same people that did Saved by the Max, which was the Saved by the Bell restaurant.
Yeah.
This is going to be the Good Burger restaurant, and they have confirmed that they will be serving Ed's special sauce.
Brilliant.
Oh.
I'm so on board with this.
Yeah.
But Nickelodeon did sketch comedy for kids really well.
Really,
I mean,
well.
We're looking back at You Can't Do That on Television. Mm. There are so many classics, and You Do Not Want Bath Special Sauce.
Oh.
Made me think about that. But it's interesting that they're going with the actors who were originally there, because you can imagine them trying to do All That or You Can't Do That on Television, the next generation kind of thing.
I'm hanging for, like, Pete and Pete.
Mm. Yeah.
And their son, like, their son's been friends or something like
that. Yeah, that would work.
And just start bringing back all the game shows.
Slime. But I think revivals work when you've got the original cast.
Because
that's what our generation want to see. We don't necessarily want the show. We want the people.
The only reason Fuller House works as a thing is because it is the same actors.
Exactly. If it was different, it would have been a big flop.
And I think that's how Degrassi worked when they brought the Next Generation out, because the Next Generation was Spike's daughter.
And you had a couple of the old cast in there as the teachers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they only need to stay around long enough so that the kids who were watching it with their parents got attached to those characters.
Yep.
Good burger. You can't see it, but I'm giving double thumbs up.
It's a really fun idea.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of trailers that I saw. There was a new one for Frozen 2. Elsa deals with some shit. That should be the colon.
Some like frozen the shit?
She's gone a little Targaryen.
There's a hint of that, but there's also maybe her power isn't as powerful as she thought. Maybe there's some other stronger things out there.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, they're cagey with that stuff. We're not going to know until the movie comes out.
I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Same. It feels like ages ago that the original was out.
2012.
Yeah, that's ages ago.
That's a long time in sequel life.
Absolutely.
World.
But they work really long on those films. Mm. So I went to a Disney presentation, I want to say in, I think, 2008, when the film was still called The Snow Princess.
Yeah, right.
And Olaf was not a character in it.
Yeah.
The snowman and Elsa was the villain.
And which she teeters on anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was 5 or 6 years before the film actually came out.
Yeah.
And that's, they just, Disney are lucky that they have the resources that they can let things gestate until they're ready.
Yeah.
Rather than have to push them out like everyone else.
Which is why they get good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm hearing with Toy Story 4, which I will be back. Hopefully next week.
Yes.
So we can talk about that one.
Amazing.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I know I sent it to you, but there was a new Red Band trailer for The Boys, which is a new Amazon show coming soon that I've talked about many, many, many times over the last year.
It looks good. It looks violent.
Really violent. And there was a dolphin, and there was a baby with laser eyes, and...
I thought the way they edited in... I don't want to give it away. I like the way they edited in the song that they revealed at the end of the trailer, because you were like, is that... Sorry, was that...
Yep.
That is that song. And it's a surprising pick, but everybody loves it.
And it very much matches up to the pep talk given just before.
Okay.
And it ties together. But if you enjoyed the Umbrella Academy this year
and
you can handle a little bit of violence, I think The Boys will be your jam.
Right.
I think it's got really strong potential. I'm rereading the comic at the moment. I feel like I need to take a shower every 6 inches.
Ooh.
Yes. And then finally, there was a trailer that came out yesterday for a horror comedy coming later in the year called Ready or Not.
Here I come.
You can't hide.
Well, it's the night before a wedding, and the bride and groom head out to his family's estate.
Okay.
And the whole big family are there gathered. There's a, let's play a game of hide and seek.
Oh, no.
And it turns deadly. And they may be hunting her for, I don't know if it's for ritual sacrifice or what, but they all look completely inept. And
so
they hurt themselves and kill each other and this sort of stuff.
Did you say daytime, did you say movie or TV show?
Movie.
Okay.
So I think around Halloween, somewhere there later in the year, I've completely forgotten who it was, but the production company behind it aren't known for doing this sort of stuff. And the stuff they are known for doing is very high quality. So it gives me a lot of hope.
Branching out.
Samara Weaving is the main guy. Main girl, sorry. Adam Brody I saw in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Heartthrob. So dreamy. And Andy McDowell.
Oh, wow. Oh,
look at that for a pull. I had to dig through. I'm like, I know that face. What's that face?
Yeah. Groundhog Day, Groundhog
that's right.
Day.
How did she look 30 years ago? That's who it is.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm assuming she's the soon-to-be mother-in-law.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any other newsy stuff?
No, my bag is empty. You've emptied my sack.
I was... Santa.
I have one little bit of news.
Oh, you do?
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not super fresh, but still news. So Gavin and Stacey.
Yes.
Show, which I remember when the show was... out and playing, and they had the ads all on Foxtel.
Ooh, what's
and,
a curtain?
And I remember thinking, who'd watch that? That looks like rubbish. Anyway, I binged it on Netflix. Hilarious.
You loved it.
It was so funny.
I'm with you. I love it. Lynn hates it.
Oh, really?
So, I know so many English people that hate that show.
Huh. I think, you know, when Foxtel were advertising it, they went down the wrong road, because I just remember thinking, oh, it's a soppy, stupid drama.
Mm.
Anyway, bloody hilarious. You would love it, Leah, because it's that English comedy. Anyway.
Stick it on the list of things to watch.
It's James Corbin and Ruth Jones, and they just released a statement saying they were going to do another Christmas special. So however
such
many
an English
years
thing,
later,
isn't
such
it?
An English thing. And so you're picking up the characters, and as far as I know, the whole cast is back for
it. Oh, it's
nice. I was like, nice.
Yeah,
I'm in
that's
for that.
Exciting.
Can't wait.
So I wonder how
Gavin's not busy.
No.
No.
I think James might be the only one who is busy.
Wait, now I haven't seen Gavin and Stacey, but isn't Gavin, wasn't he Ramsay Bolton? Or am I thinking of someone else? Is he in that show, though?
No. They look similar. His name is Ewan Rayon or something like that.
Right, okay.
He's from Misfits, and he does look a lot like Gavin. Gavin was also on the James Corden and Gavin's Name show. Matthew Horn. There you go. See how
that
this brain
good.
Works? Thank you.
Was,
I had to dig that out.
Impressive.
Matthew Horn. Mm. I know the two of them also did a film. I want to call it Lesbian Vampire Killers, I think it was. It was bad.
That sounds niche.
It was two or three years after Shaun of the Dead, and they were like, let's do the horror comedy thing, with lesbian nun vampires.
I'm just not a big vampire fan. I don't know. There's something about the rules that just...
Would you say they suck? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I was trying to give you the hand signal.
It was really nice. I'm not fast enough for that. I'm glad you were there.
Thank you.
Thank you for that news, Tidy.
That was good news.
It was really, really good.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Now, as first guest, only guest, what have you been watching?
Favourite guest.
So I went down a Netflix original rabbit hole, which, let's be honest, can be good.
Mm.
Can be really good. And can be bloody awful. Well,
depends on your algorithm.
Yeah.
So the first one I watched was the new thriller with Renee Zellweger called What If.
I heard that was crap.
Crap.
Oh, so it really was
so bad. It was like watching a really bad midday movie.
Oh, they should have called it What If This Was Good.
Yeah. And I had it on the background, but you know when you keep finding yourself doing other things, walking off.
You left the room?
Left the room. Huh? But binged it in the whole day. Look, the story itself has some really good twists, but I pretty much predicted every single one of them before it happened.
Okay.
So I thought, not great, but they must have spent a lot of money on that show. Renee Zellweger was the only good thing about it, and I don't mind her, but it was a really interesting thing.
Was there a lot of I know this is audio, but was there a lot of her doing Zellweger face with it?
Yes, hasn't she had a bit of work done on her eyes so she can't do that face?
I think she's had all the work done.
Not as much as Meg Ryan though, right?
No.
Not Meg Ryan proportions.
So there was not a lot of facial reactions going on due to it being
all
impossible.
Budgetary concerns.
So don't bother.
So steer clear?
Steer clear, okay. Don't bother. Some of the acting was absolutely atrocious.
Oh, that's a shame.
Anyone that you can put a spotlight on?
Oh, the whole cast.
Okay.
Yeah. but things went up from there. So then I watched Always Be My Maybe with Ali Wong.
Keanu.
And Keanu. He's hilarious in it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's really funny. And you don't like him in it. You just don't like him. But that was really good. And really, I know Netflix are going on this whole thing of politically correct casting and, you know, with what was the one? What's the one? I can't think of the name.
Crazy Rich Asians?
There's that one. No, it's another Netflix one. Dumpling.
Ah.
And taking, bigger girl and someone who's not Hollywood beautiful. The whole cast is Asian pretty much and really, really interesting characters. But that was a fun one to watch. Really enjoyed that.
Well, Netflix has got a good relationship with Ali Wong. Mm. She's done a lot of stand-up specials and stuff for them. So it was a project.
It was interesting to see her not in the stand-up scene, but in an acting scene, I had to keep reminding myself this is the one who was strutting around in a leopard print dress and a baby
pregnant
bump, swearing her head off. But she was a really good actress. I was impressed by her. And then the last one I watched that was another Netflix original was Murder Mystery with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler. Now, I am not a fan of Adam Sandler.
Because you're a normal human being.
Yeah, because he's annoying. And he does that stupid Adam Sandler voice and that stupid...
Why does he do that?
Because people keep patting him on the back and rewarding bad behaviour.
Exactly. Now, look, I think you could have replaced him easily with any other actor.
What about Keanu?
Yeah.
He's in everything else.
Yeah, he's in everything else. But the storyline for Murder Mystery was great. It was like one of those old, not Hitchcock, Poirot, Miss Marple sort of mysteries, where everybody's in the room and the lights go out and then they come back
Cluedo.
On and somebody's dead. It's Cluedo. It was really good. I really, really enjoyed
it. Was there some good stunt casting? Did they roll out a Christopher Lloyd or?
Yeah.
A David Schwimmer.
You know who was in it?
That's not who I would have guessed. Terrence Stamp is not at the top of my list, but he's always available.
Yeah.
And I know he's for a great character role. You slot him in.
Ralph.
Mm.
He was really good.
All right.
Didn't last very long, but.
Was he
Spoiler.
Did he have a lot of disapproving? I will not stand for this. not yes. in my hotel.
Yes, not on his mega yacht.
Not
oh,
on
mega
my
yacht.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So. Ari Gold, you will give me your company.
I just still remember him from Priscilla.
Sure. Well, that's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
You know, the bit about blowing your box apart. That's all yeah, I can yeah. think of.
That's a great classic line. I know one thing that you watch.
Yes.
And that I watch with you quite often
mm-hmm.
because you come over and eat dinner and then go, well, let's watch this.
Does it involve a big boat?
No, but these women would be able to afford a big boat.
But I do like that one too.
Oh, I know.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is on at the moment.
Look, I know Lynn's loves her Guilty Pleasure as Dance Moms. Moms.
You love those kind of shows. You watch Dance Moms.
Yeah. Look, I did move away from Dance Moms a little bit.
I've heard you should get back in. It's just started again.
Yeah, I think I probably will.
Man.
But my guilty pleasure. And look, I won't hide it. I love Housewives. I used to be Housewives of Anywhere. I've become a little bit more streamlined.
So who are your who are the ones that you watch?
Okay. Real Housewives of New York. You've got to. They're the originals. Well, they're not the originals, but they're the really good originals.
Have you got the Bethany? The Bethany Frankel.
They've got the good ones. Orange County, Beverly Hills.
Mm.
I've watched a lot of the others. I've even watched Melbourne.
What are the worst suburbs they've done?
Oh, okay. So they did Washington, D.C. They only ever did one season of it. I thought it was quite good, but they didn't. They didn't last. But everybody fighting to be that little bit more politically upper than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, being invited to a state dinner and things. There were people who snuck into the state dinner. That was great controversial. It was fabulous. There was Miami. Bit weird.
Trash.
Yeah.
That would have been great. That's like Real Wives of Gold Coast.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Which, is that a thing?
No.
Why aren't they doing those? Because it's always the really classy. Yeah. Give me the fake classy.
And that's it. There are some that are fake classy, and then you have ones where they've actually got money. And you think, like Beverly Hills, they've actually got some money. They've got money. Orange County, some not.
So Miami would be crazy money, but then you could also do like Key West or somewhere else in Florida where they have gators.
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Real Housewives of the Swamp. But a bit of proper reality came to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. So while they were filming the wildfires.
Do you remember the wildfires from last year?
It must have been last year in Malibu.
Yes.
Just tore through the area, and one of the Real Housewives lost their house, lost everything.
We're just seeing that on the show now, or was this known before?
We knew before,
but not the extent because it was hot content.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So this is Camille Grammer, who was married to Kelsey Grammer, and had a bitter divorce because he moved to New York and had another woman living as Mrs. Grammer in his apartment that she didn't know about. So anyway, she's back on the show and her house destroyed, completely gone.
What I thought was interesting, because I watched the episode where she told them, they pretend to organise trips away, but really it's the production company that organised these trips away. So they went on this trip away except for her and Denise Richards because their houses were under threat. They had to evacuate. So these women who were clearly not really in the mood to party because their houses are close, their friends, the other cast members are not there because these houses are really close, they still had to pretend that they were having a great time on this trip, but they were calling home a lot.
Yeah. They would have all been under threat. Like, I know only a couple of them live in Malibu, and that's a long way away from Beverly Hills, but many of them have many houses. So they would have just been having that worry the whole time because some of them said they were given minutes to get out of their house. And then from there, the fires were so close, they were stuck in traffic and they couldn't actually drive to get out.
Mm.
So it's scary.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember seeing photographs of Alanis Morissette had taken some because she lives there and she was evacuated. And, just a photograph from her car and just the huge smoke cloud.
Didn't
it's
Oprah?
A traffic jam.
Yeah, that's
when you're
right.
already late.
That's exactly
trying
it.
To get away from fires and evacuate.
Oh,
that was good.
Thanks.
Didn't Oprah lose her house?
I can't remember. There were yeah. a few celebrities. Yeah, it wasn't just housewives.
Yeah.
Well, real housewives. Yeah.
Not fake housewives.
Not fake, fake ones.
They're not celebrities.
Oprah, you're a fake one.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have I been watching? I've been watching some stuff. I've been mainly catching up because there's a lot of things that are week to week for me now.
Mm.
So I've been trying to make sure that I watch them.
Stay on top.
I know, it's really hard. And Wentworth, do you remember I said there was a bit of a bang?
Yeah.
I was like, someone is not getting out of that alive. They got out of it alive.
Oh.
I was like, really?
Cersei Lannister, watch
it was
closely.
Cersei. That's right.
You looked so disappointed.
Use a mattress, Cersei Lannister. That's how you could have. Anyway. Yeah, Wentworth is just fun. I just like it.
What season are they up to?
Oh, I want to say 7.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. And there are characters who are long gone who were the main characters.
Yeah.
And they're just distant memories at this point. Mm. But I like the fact that it's Aussie. You know, got to keep your Aussie shows. You got to have at least one Aussie show. And it can't be Home and Away or Neighbours. I can see Tom thinking.
No.
No? Maybe next year. What have you been watching?
Oh,
all of the things.
I just tongue-tied at how many things I've watched. Okay, I'm going to jump through some very quickly. The AP Bio finale happened.
How did it go?
It was sad because we had the extra layer of knowing this was the end, even though they didn't know it was the end and this sort of stuff.
That sucks.
But it ends with the big questions of he finally got an opportunity to go forward with the book deal and maybe move to New York and move away. But at the same time, he just sort of entered a committed relationship with the lady he liked. So he had a good reason to stay. And then the final twist was that the principal's assistant found out that she never finished high school, so she gets put into his class. So the whole ruse is about to get revealed anyway.
Right.
Unless he somehow convinces her to go along with the fact that he's fake teaching
Damn.
His kids.
Mm.
So we don't know what happens next.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
It was annoying.
Mm.
Really annoying. Bon Appetit had their finale.
Was it just as hilarious as the first one?
So much so.
Yeah.
Like I've loved this show throughout. It's been very interesting. This was the 10th episode to determine which of the winners from the previous episodes would come on for this because there have been 9 winners. There were only 3 coming on.
Mm-hmm.
They put stickers on the bottom of jars of weed and sniffed and what smelt best got picked. And I was really happy because there was one lady named Nicole who was hilarious and great fun and they got her back and she was the grand prize winner.
Yeah, nice.
And I love that this was not a monetary thing.
Yeah.
Her grand prize was to go riding in B-Reel's legendary lowrider hotbox. So B-Reel drove her around with the suspension going so the car was popping.
Not embarrassing at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh, they were inside in the garage. He doesn't drive around the streets.
Thank goodness.
This is like a really expensive famous car.
Yeah, right.
And he only really rolls it out for film clips at this point.
Okay, fair enough.
But she got to ride in the back of it smoking while B-Reel flicked the switches and they bounced. And it was amazing. And that was a prize for a TV show.
Oh, I was like, yeah. Awesome.
So, I don't know. It ended up being this weird take on Great British Bake Off. They weren't competing for anything other than cred and rep and
bit of fun.
This lady Nicole, she's like, I work in I think she said Williamsburg or something, but like in a town in an area of a city that is full of hipsters.
Yeah,
and she's like, if I can put a sticker up in the window that says I won Bon Appetit, all of a sudden I've got a lot more credibility.
Yeah. And a lot more money.
Yeah.
I would say too.
So
be able to jack up the prices.
Yeah, there's your prize.
Yeah, exactly. Steph, I know you have caught up with Handmaids. And
yes.
So have I.
Yep.
I heard some people say, because you know how the first 3 episodes were all released?
Together.
In one go, yeah. And they said, it's not the same. It's sort of dragging it out a bit. I don't think it is dragging out a bit. I think... Without giving too much away, I think in the 4th episode, at the end of it, it opens up the idea that the people who have escaped Gilead, the people in Canada who are safe, are not actually safe.
Mm. Absolutely.
And suddenly characters who you're like, oh, that's good. She's gotten out. You're all of a sudden going,
yeah.
Oh, you've been through a lot and you are just recovering. And now I think you might be in trouble in the near future.
I think it's a really clever way that they've gone about it, because we've had two full seasons of Gilead. I mean, little snippets of heading over to Canada, but two full seasons. And this season started and I thought, okay. And as they switch between Canada and Gilead, I was finding myself far more interested in the Canada characters and how they were beginning the recuperation of coming down from such a trauma. And I was thinking, I wonder how long I'll be interested in this if it keeps coming back to Gilead, because it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And so this twist, I thought, oh, that's really clever. If the two are going to combine, perhaps on Canada soil, that's something I did not predict whatsoever. So really clever.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm, well, geez, how far are we into it? We're probably about a third of the way through the season. I think there's usually about 13.
Yeah.
And this is, I think it was probably a good idea to let it simmer and for us to suddenly go, oh, right.
Mm. I actually had to watch that last scene twice because the first time I was like,
what's happening?
Wait, what? Huh? What? What's going on? Yeah. Rewound it and went, Ouch.
Awkward.
Might be leaving Canada, going to Australia.
What else have you been watching, Tom?
So I mentioned up top that I watched DuckTales.
I've been waiting for this DuckTale news.
So DuckTales, I believe it's on season four now, and it has David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck. It's got Bobby Moynihan and Danny Pudi and Ben Schwartz as Huey, Dewey and Louie. And I've checked in on and off over the last couple of years, and it's gotten continuously more meta and weird, and they've folded in all these bits from other Disney animated shows from the 90s.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So Launchpad McDuck from DuckTales, but he's also from Darkwing Duck and this sort of stuff. He's on the show and he's now the chauffeur for the limo and his secret identity is Negaduck, which was a long-running thing on some of the shows back then, if he'd put on, you know, a really crappy costume and try and fight crime. So he's inspired by Darkwing Duck. So this episode is about there's a fan a convention type thing, and they meet the actor who played Darkwing Duck back in the 90s. Who, his name is Jim Cummings in real life, and he's playing a character named Jim Starling. While they are with this character, he finds out that Hollywood are doing a gritty reboot of a Darkwing Duck. And Darkwing Duck in the 90s was already a piss take on the Dark Knight, the Batman and TV show at the time.
Yeah, right.
The animated one.
The one with Mark Hamill as the Joker?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. So it was already a piss take of that. So instead now they're rebooting the film to be a piss take of the Christian Bale movies, and they've got the guy who was the president of the Darkwing Duck fan club committee playing him.
That's clever.
But he's also voiced by Jim Cumming.
Oh, gosh.
And this whole thing gets super meta of a way of moving the old Darkwing Duck character out of the picture and having this actual new fan take over, and he fits better with the world the show is now. And by the end of the episode, doesn't want to be an actor, wants to be a superhero for real. So this character
I'm the real
now,
Darkwing Duck.
Yes, yeah. So this character has now gone from what was a TV and movie character in that world to they did all this convoluted stuff to make him real, so he's now a character moving forward.
Oh.
In the same time, they used that opportunity to pay off the fact that there was always a reverse version of Darkwing Duck, and we never really knew who it was, and there was a couple of twists and stuff. And when the show finished, it didn't finish properly by finally revealing who it was. And the big twist at this end of this episode was that the crazy older actor like runs away into the sewer and is so damaged by this whole thing, he paints himself and becomes this one.
Whoa,
so
okay. We've got a lot going on.
It was the equivalent of paying off the Alf finale of like, wow, that was a question I didn't even realize I still had in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then the cherry on top for me was Dewey when he was trying to convince Scrooge that they should put musical numbers in the movie. And he's doing a dance on a green screen to show him what he's thinking. And he does the dance from the Goofy movie.
Nice.
There's no highlight to it. He doesn't call it out. It's just, I know that that is that the perfect is cast. And he does the perfect cast to try and sell it. It's like, this show is so good.
Imagine what? That writer's room conversation.
Yeah.
There'd be so many. No, hang on. What? What happened next?
Hang on. I'll show you. Let me just find it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's if you grew up watching Disney cartoons, your Chip and Dale and all that sort of stuff, this show is surprisingly for you. Like it is aimed at little kids, but there's a lot of jokes in there that are directly to adults.
Yeah.
Especially if you get the nostalgia kick from the old stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Fun. Okay. That is layer upon layer.
It was like True Detective style layering of timelines paying off and stuff like that. Like I cannot believe how convoluted this children's show got.
Convoluted.
Yeah.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
So I've been watching a show called An Hour to Save Your Life. It's an English documentary about the ambulance service, but they time everything. So not...
It's kind of like that show Ambulance, kind of like that show 24 Hours in Emergency or A&E or whatever.
A little bit. But these ones really are... You've got an hour to live, and it's the most incredible rescues that you could see. There's one where a young woman has been hit by a London bus in the middle of peak hour in the morning, and they actually do open heart surgery on the street.
Wow.
And, you know, and they're counting down the minutes the whole time. It's one of those shows that you can only watch one episode.
It's too much.
It's too much. Yeah. You're so drained. But you actually cannot believe there are people who do that for their job and how selfless they are.
Mm.
And then, you know, it takes them from the emergency into hospital and what goes on after that to try and keep saving their life. Really humbling show to watch.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
What was it called again?
An hour to Save Your Life.
Cool. All right, Tom, have you watched anything else before we get into fear?
I will just give a few bullet points.
Because
I knew you were coming tidy, so I watched some trash.
Okay.
So here's some trash that I watched. Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. Ooh. Surprisingly, Guy Fieri still likes barbecue.
That's weird, right?
That's the only update you need to... All right, here's Rogan.
Are his glasses still attached to his head somehow?
Oh, they came off a few times.
Whoa.
His hair is still very spiky.
Of course it is.
Very frosted. Yeah,
that's never going to stop.
Nope. I watched Most Expensivest is back for season three, which was great. It was all about digital sex toys or weird expensive stuff you can buy, including self-pleasuring items that are Bluetooth connected, so your partner can be anywhere else in the world and use the equivalent device on them, and this thing responds.
Talks to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's very high-tech.
It's very high-tech.
And now that you're saying it, it does not surprise me that it exists in 2019. Mm.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you get a text saying, would you stop that? I'm in a meeting.
Well, the ladies thing was very small and discreet. It looked like it would fit comfortably in a handbag.
Okay.
And the guys thing looked like you would need to pack like a tuba case. Because the thing itself was small, but it sat inside this like jet engine cylinder that did all sorts, made noises. I also watched the return of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh.
Dean Cain?
No, now hosted by Bruce Campbell.
Hmm.
There was one bit that I particularly enjoyed where they were meeting a guy, they did a story on the man with the world's strongest face.
And what does he do with it?
I don't know. What is it, just strong facial expressions?
He professionally balances things on his face.
Oh. Like what stuff?
Well, so they showed that there was a professional strongman who balances things on the top of his head and like stands underneath a small car and balances. His neck's so wide he can just balance it on his neck.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy, he said when he was about 13, he just, for a laugh, put a baseball bat on his chin and could walk around and stuff. And never really told anyone about it until 10 years later when someone saw him do it at a party and was like, what the hell is that? And then he just started putting different things on his chin.
Oh.
And
it's so dumb.
He's never dropped anything.
It's like, hey, hey, it's Saturday's yeah. Red Faces no, winner. But
this guy now works for the different sporting leagues, going around and like working with cheerleaders, balancing Whoa. Stuff in front of the cheerleaders in for crowds. Anyway, his big thing that he did on Ripley's Believe It or Not, great. He climbed a 16-foot ladder and balanced a 10-foot ladder on his chin.
Whoa.
And the cherry on top of the whole story was that it then cuts back to Bruce Campbell and he goes, I've made my career out of people loving my chin, but that's just crazy.
Yes!
Way more freaky body contortion stuff than I remembered on Ripley's Believe It or Not. Maybe that was just the first episode, but there was maybe. A few things that maybe go, nope.
Maybe the producers have been busy researching.
There'd be a lot of deep diving research for that show.
Yep.
Easier as well on the internet now.
Yeah.
Very much so. And the last one that I'll talk about is it's paired up with Most Expensive. It's called Jasper and Errol's First Time. Now, hearing that, I was like, I don't know what this is about. Mm. But then when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, my gosh. So Jasper and Errol are two guys who were on Loiter Squad, which is the TV show from Odd Future and Tyler, the Creator.
Mm.
They're an LA really weird hip-hop collective, and they did this show, Loiter Squad. There were three seasons of it. It was for MTV, and it was produced by Birdhouse Pictures. So everyone that did Jackass basically made a show
mm-hmm.
with African-American guys that are rappers and the opposite end of the spectrum to Jackass in terms of how they not behave, but just different mentalities.
Yes.
Jackass was very redneck.
Oh, yes.
This is very hood. Think?
Yeah, right, okay.
So Jasper and Errol's First Time sees these two guys being sent. It's basically them going to try stuff white people like for the first time.
That's a fun idea, actually.
And so some of them are really harmless, and some of them are just like, oh, yeah, why do we do that? So the first one is they have to go to a rodeo and do bull riding.
Yeah, that is a question. I don't know why people do that.
And that's what they discover.
There's no answer.
Then they get sent to a cuddle party. It's all consensual. It's no sexy time. It's just touching.
Oh, creepy people who like to just hug each other.
Well, that's what I thought going in. And then when I watched this, I want to go on one of these parties.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They look positive. You look like you come out feeling great.
Okay.
These are two hard guys that went in and by the end were laying there cradling other people. And they're like, they get so consensual with it. At one point, one of them's like, man, I love you so much. Can I slap you across the face? He's like, yeah, you can. And he slaps him. And the teacher comes forward. She's like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing here. And he goes, he asked me permission and I gave it. She's like, well, in that case, okay, continue.
Hug he's it
like,
out.
All right, then.
Slap it out.
May I slap you across the face? He's like, I wish you would. Slap. And then they both just lay down and have a cuddle. It was so fun. And
that's
then they
madness.
Go.
It's not a thing.
Then they go hang gliding. And
these guys are busy.
Yeah, but then not into hang gliding.
Okay,
not at all. Not which no. I respect. I'm not into hang gliding. It looks terrifying. Mm. But yeah, I'm really into this show.
What's it called again?
Jasper and Errol's First Time.
It sounds fun.
It was. Yeah. I instantly went to iTunes and subscribed for the season.
Yeah, cool.
I was
yeah.
like, that was cool. Such a good watch. And it does feel so. There was a spin-off from Jackass called Wild Boys, which was Steve-O and Chris Pontius, and they went around with animals. And for some reason, having a little bit more specificity as to what the show was meant to be gave it a lot more interest. And that's what this feels like again. Okay, like we're just following these two main guys, and they're in situations that make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not about ridiculing the public. It's not about ridiculing them. It's just an alternate version of Review, that show I love where people go and try out new experiences for the first time.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Fun.
Yeah. I would watch that. Yeah. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One thing that I enjoyed that we watched, well, I hope you watched, I watched Fear the Walking Dead and I liked the episode with all the Red Dead Westworld bits.
Oh, I did. I enjoyed it very much as well.
I thought it was fun. I liked that. So, Tidy, there was a bit where, when you go to those sort of worlds, they'll have sort of like cardboard cutouts.
Yes.
With costumes, and then you put your head in it.
Yes.
And you have your photograph taken and you walk away. So there was a zombie whose head was there and someone just either shot or stabbed them. I can't remember. And I was like, that's hilarious. They were having so much fun with this episode.
Do you remember Old Sydney Town?
Yeah.
So this episode was basically, what if you hid out in Old Zombie Town? And one of the characters used to work at one of these places as a professional gunslinger. He was a trick shot guy. Yep. And so just seeing the gunslinger in his actual element, which we haven't seen at any point up to the, it's always just been like, oh, he was play acting at being a cowboy.
Yeah.
When you see him in that setting, it's like, oh no. He revealed that he used to be a cop.
Yeah, he did, which is what we thought originally.
We did think that.
And then we were told that he, was a gunslinger.
I have a feeling that we may find out there was some incident that happened that made him retire from being a cop.
Mm,
yeah.
Perhaps he didn't want to shoot for real anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
Something along those lines.
Maybe.
But yeah, there was some good humour in there.
I laughed out loud in one bit. We saw, finally, like it's no big surprise, but we saw Dwight.
Yep.
Who crossed over?
Did the laughter occur with something that happened and then made a very audible ding?
I laughed and clapped my hands.
Checked again. That was called the San Antonio Split.
It was awesome.
He made someone hold up an axe.
Oh, yeah.
While they were laying on the ground, a zombie was dead on them. There were two more zombies coming from different directions.
Oh, only one bullet left.
He's like, hold out that axe. He's like, what? Hold out that axe. Ha! And then aims, pew, and it splits the bullet down the center of the axe, ping, takes out both zombies.
Oh.
Why not have fun?
Now that's a slow clap. Oh,
why not
there?
Just shoot one and run up and bash the other on the face?
I know, yeah.
Like
which is
you
exactly
always do.
What Jenna Elfman did. But this is the spin-off of The Walking Dead, and they were very serious for a very long time, and then this season is quite different. This actually, the season before was quite different as well.
There was the zombie hurricane last year.
That's right. And they're just doing stuff. And I must say, I really appreciate
it. It's refreshing.
It is refreshing.
It's kind of made me want to go and watch Z Nation again.
Yeah.
Because that one's funny.
Yeah.
That one throws in a lot of the funny stuff. And there was that much funny in here. We haven't even talked about why I loved the episode.
And why did you love the episode?
Because Dwight came back.
Yeah, he did. I think that was the most I've ever heard him speak.
Yep. It was 100%. He's out from the thumb. He's not got oppression on his shoulders.
Being Negan,
and I thought that was a beautiful moment with Morgan. They're obviously going to have to deal with it in future.
Did you think they were going to hug?
Almost.
Yeah, me too.
It was almost like, hey, you've been through some shit. I've been through some shit. Let's not talk about that shit. Let's just be here and now.
This is our new thing that we're doing. Yeah.
I'm really on board with the idea of redemption, and it took an actual character that we've seen had a fall because. Fear is different in that there's only really two characters from the first season left.
Yeah.
And everyone else there is not a familial connection. It's just a ragtag group of people thrown together. And they've all had or done stuff in the past that they're running from in some way. But we have a stronger connection to some of them than we do others.
Mm.
Others like Al, we don't really even know.
Don't know much, yeah.
Yeah.
So to have a character who was a bad guy on the other show but went through a redemptive arc on that show and then kind of aborted the redemption arc and bailed and just disappeared from the main show.
Yeah. I don't want to be part of this world anymore.
And it was like, oh, okay, all right, that's one way to wrap up that character. And instead have him come over here and walk in and be batshit crazy for half the episode, then suddenly calm down when someone goes, look, I know there's a good guy inside of you. And that person had never met him before.
Yeah.
We know that he's a good guy, but we've seen him gone mad exactly like Morgan did.
Yeah, yeah.
So to have him go through a one episode redemptive arc and now he's an equal with these people, it's awesome.
It's awesome, and it genuinely makes me look forward to each episode. Because sometimes those shows like, The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, you watch it almost with trepidation, like, oh, who are we going to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which character? Also,
the dragging out. You know, if a character can go through that in one episode and then just move on.
Yeah.
That's really interesting versus going, oh, this is going to be 3 weeks of, this person figuring it out.
If this was proper Walking Dead, they would have had him locked in a box and torturing him and talking and where's your camp? Why are you attacking?
Yeah.
Whereas this was just like, buddy.
You're going to be all right.
What highway did you take coming here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just so casual.
Yeah.
It felt like that the last three episodes or whatever were building to that moment. And, this year is clearly about redemption and it's about trying to help.
Mm.
And that they're going out and putting themselves in harm's way all the time trying to help people that don't want help.
Yeah.
And then to actually have that pay off in one episode with one character who started out not wanting help, but we know him well enough that by the end he's now converted to that mission.
Yep.
gives me a lot more. It's great. I'm like, okay, I can see how this is going to pay off.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, I just thought every person they're going to meet is going to throw it's it in their face.
Horrible. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's going to be a trope. The world's past it. Repetitive.
Yeah. Mm. It's nice to get that. Yeah, so looking forward to next week. Speaking of things I'm looking forward to, who's ready for Would You Rather?
Would I rather talk more about shows or play the game? The game.
Game.
Great. Let's go. We got six. We're going to go Would You Rather, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Apple TV thing, whatever it is, or Stan?
Disney Plus.
I'm going to go Stan.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's a choice.
I'll go Apple TV thing. I don't know what it is yet. Well, that means I can't watch anything because it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Netflix. Okay. Oh, would you rather having... Would you rather have to watch the Summer Olympics or the Winter Olympics?
Winter. It's way more fun. It's all the stuff you don't get to do.
Mm. And also there's less, for an Australian, there's less media hype because we're just not really in it. So you can get those Bradbury moments.
I'm going to play the card. I like to watch the Paralympics.
Oh, very good. Fine. That's nice. Okay. That's a good answer.
But the winter or the summer one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Yep. This is a good one.
I don't watch sport.
I know you don't.
Sorry, I was trying best. I was like, Olympics, that's every 4 years, right? And that's different to World Cup cycle.
I don't know.
World Cup.
It's different to the Commonwealth Games cycle.
Commonwealth Games. Let's celebrate our former colonies.
Yay.
We owned you.
Now compete.
Yeah. Compete for us, my pretties. What about 80s teen movies or 90s teen movies? That's hard, right?
Yeah, that's really hard.
Because you go, oh, Molly Ringwald, like the...
No, my first thought is that John Empire Hughes. Records. I'm like, yeah, I jumped straight in the 90s.
And I've gone, she's all that.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Look, couldn't you span it? Can you go 85 to 95?
Oh, well, so you want to throw in Clueless. Clueless is your end point.
Yeah.
And Pretty in Pink is your begin?
I
Breakfast Club?
I think.
Yeah. Okay, you've just named the two for me. Done. 85 to 95.
Okay. Well, I think she's made her own decade.
I'll go with 90s.
Okay.
I'll go with 90s.
I'll go 80s then. And
well,
we can all
watch together.
Bond. I wasn't a teen in the 80s.
Bonding.
No, I wasn't.
No. I know you were.
Still some good movies. What about a tickle in the back of your throat when you're trying to go to sleep or that leg that twitches when you have just gone to sleep?
So this is the one that I would rather have?
You got to pick one.
How long does the tickle in my throat last?
Until you do something about it. So you've got to get up and get the cough lozenge or you've got to have a bit of honey or a drink of water.
Okay, and the leg twitch I'm already asleep for.
Yeah, it wakes you up.
Oh, it wakes you up?
Yes.
Kind of leg twitch wakes you up.
The cramp. Worst ones.
I'm going leg twitch. If you'd said tickling your throat during a time you can't cough, you know, like a show or a movie or
lecture.
That'd be the worst.
Dentist.
Oh, yeah, no. That would be hard.
I coughed when I was getting a root canal. That was bad.
Oh, that is hard.
A lot of blood.
Oh, that's worse than I thought it was going to be. I feel sorry for you now.
That's why they wear masks.
So to protect themselves. Great. What about a Monte Carlo or a Kingston biscuit?
Kingston.
I think I prefer the Kingstons.
I'll take the Monte Carlo then.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you get the whole pack. We've got to halve it.
It's a big wee.
How loud is that?
So weird.
What are the... So in the assorted pack.
Yeah.
Monte Carlo, the big one.
Yeah.
They're the big ones
with the pink around the...
Yeah. Which one's the Kingston?
They're the smaller sort of Anzac-looking biscuits with the chocolate in the middle.
Okay, they're cool. What are the ones that look like dominoes on the sides with white down the middle?
Oh, they're not called shortbread cream?
No. I want to say that there's something like Monte Carlo. I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah, that's why I'm getting confused with this. I'm trying to pinpoint
my... Oh, are they brown, dark brown?
No.
No, the biscuit's dark brown, but the cream inside is white.
No, the biscuit's not dark brown. The biscuit's quite a light brown.
They're sort of malty, like...
They don't have the orange stuff in the middle, do they? No, they're round. White. They're small, yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that get left.
I don't know. The white, I've just always called them the chook food biscuits because they're the ones that get left in the pack at the very end. And you chuck them out and the birds eat them.
Yeah, really do. Is that the one you're choosing?
That's like the plain.
I like that one.
Okay.
Because they're always left. No one wants them.
That's true. Then you get all of them.
You don't have to fight for them.
All right, final would you rather, a Handmaid's Tale musical or a Walking Dead sitcom?
Oh, sitcom.
I mean, we've almost got it with Fear the Walking Dead. I can see it's getting closer. Where Handmaid's, it would almost be, you'd almost have your Les Mis-ness about it.
It's too heavy.
Mm.
I don't know where you'd get your uplifting, you know.
I've come to Canada.
Mm.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, it was good. I enjoyed those would you rather. So that was we were all open to them.
I'm having scenarios for Walking Dead sitcoms in my head. Daryl, Lydia, and dog in a house.
It's got to be a
There's
house.
A live audience, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Canned laughter.
Yep.
And someone who lives next door and just welcomes himself in.
Oh, yeah.
Usually from the back door.
It's only me.
Oh, and then they can have the recurring. Did you leave the back door unlocked again? You know the zombies will come.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yep.
Tidy, thank you very much for coming in and being tidy.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
me. And Tom?
Ciao, Bella.